Well, good evening. Good to see you as we've come together this evening to worship God. Grateful for the presence of each and every one of you. It's good to see visitors among us, among them my wife's cousin Lynn and her daughters Megan and Mandy. Glad that they're here. It's good to see Brother Riddle again. He's been here several times this week. And any others who are visiting, we're grateful for your presence, and it's good to see members of Belleville here as well. Of course, on Wednesday nights, we usually have, as James said, more of a home crowd, even in a gospel meeting, and we're grateful for the members that are here. And let me just express once again my gratitude for your invitation to be here this week and let you know just how much I'm enjoying my part in this gospel meeting and this opportunity to be with you. It's truly been a blessing to me, an encouragement to me, and prayerfully, so far, some of these things have encouraged you as well. Ask you to take out your Bible that you might be able to follow along with me this evening and the things that I prepared to present to you from God's Word. As I said tonight, mostly a home crowd, we're going to talk about something a little different this evening that applies more to Christians. We'll get back to the more evangelistic, if you would, sermons the next couple of nights. But you know, something that's kind of a phenomenon that's happened over the last few years is social media has become all the rage. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, on and on we can go. Probably something that I'm too old even to know about. But social media is very, very popular. For a few moments this evening, I want to consider with you some dangers of social media. Now, let me just say at the very beginning of discussing this subject that you might say, well, I don't have a Facebook account, I don't tweet. Okay, well, if you don't do that stuff, that's okay. The principles that we're going to talk about this evening are applicable to all of us, though we're talking about them in a certain way as they apply to these things. Because the more that I see with this, the more that I see that there are things that are wrong and that are sinful that are going on, and people need to be warned about them and realize that just because you think you have a little bit of anonymity, which actually you don't in social media, but because you think that you have a little bit, people are saying and doing things that they surely ought not to be doing. So this is just a lesson intended to warn us of certain sins, not only in relation to social media, but in general, things that we need to be avoiding in this life. Now, let me say that whenever you begin to talk in a negative light about social media and that sacred cow that it is to some people, the first thing you hear is, oh, but it does so much good. Let me tell you at the beginning of our lesson once again that I believe that social media can be used and is used in some ways for good. But there are a lot of things that can be used for good and also can be used for evil. And while we ought to use them for good if we can, we ought to surely be avoiding the evil. And so don't let the idea that because it can be used for good make you think that there is no danger or no evil which can be associated with it. For indeed, there are dangers associated with social media. And for full disclosure, I have a Facebook account. I have a Twitter account. Not active on it at all. I announce the preacher training programs is pretty much what I do. But nevertheless, I have those things. So I'm not saying they're wrong or they're sinful in and of themselves. But there's some dangers of which we need to be aware. As we think about some of the dangers associated with social media, let me point out the first one to you that I'd like you to consider is the danger of unredeemed time. You know, I'm sure it's the way that they set it up, but many of these social media sites are such that they're able to suck you in, and before you know it, you've spent a half hour, an hour, 2 hours scrolling through Facebook, finding out what's going on with everybody, and you've lost a lot of time that could have been spent in a lot better way. Remember what Paul taught over in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, he said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Notice this. He said, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Do you know what it means to redeem the time? We'd probably say it this way. Make the most of the time that you have. Use your time wisely. And whether we're talking about social media or something else, let me help you to understand that we as Christians, as God's people, need to be concerned about what we spend our time doing. For indeed, God has only allotted us so much. Remember what Jesus said over in John chapter 9 and verse 4? In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus himself said, "I must work the works of him that sent me Well, it is day. He said, the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus recognized that while he was up on this earth, there were things that the Father wanted him to do, and he had only had so much time to accomplish them. Now, let me suggest to you this evening, and that's true for you and me as well. We only have so much time here upon this earth to do the things that God would have us to do. And we need to see the importance of spending our time on things that are profitable, that are good for the soul, that are good for the Lord and His cause, good for our families, and those things. And make sure that we're not squandering our time on things that ultimately are useless and pointless. And so there's a great danger with social media of unredeemed time, not being wise in the way that we use our time, when perhaps that time could be used in doing things that we really need to be doing. But in the second place, we think about some dangers of social media. There's also the danger of setting a bad example. Setting a bad example. Let me tell you that it's become evident to me from looking at Facebook and things like that, that some people, and I'm talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord, post, repost on Twitter, they tweet things that hurt their example. They tweet things and post things and repost things that they ought not to be doing. We need to guard our example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, you remember what Paul told the evangelist Timothy? He said, let no man despise your youth, but here's what you need to do. He said, be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit and faith and purity. And remember, whether or not you use social media, this is something you need to recognize, the importance of setting a good example. You know, the amazing thing, though, about social media is that you can post or repost something, you can tweet something on Twitter, and all of a sudden, hundreds of people have seen what you've done. And if you do something that you ought not to do, you have set a bad example. Let me tell you that Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 applies as much to social media as it does anything else. You remember what Jesus said there? In Matthew 5 and verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Every time that you sit down behind a computer or you have your phone in your hand and you're about ready to post something, or repost something, or like something, or tweet something, you need to ask yourself the question, if I do this, if I put this out there, is it going to make my light shine? Furthermore, is it going to be something that causes others to glorify God? And if not, you don't need to put it on there. You see, we need to be on guard for our good example. Because surely one of the dangers of social media is setting a bad example before many, many, many people. May we understand the importance of maintaining a good example and realize the serious danger. Another danger of social media is the danger of sinful speech. You know, some people on social media say or perhaps repost things that they would hopefully never say face to face. And I'm talking about brethren here. I've read things that my brethren have posted. I've seen things that they've reposted on there that almost made my jaw drop when I saw it. Because I thought, surely they ought to know better than to use that kind of speech, that kind of language in the things that they were putting out. There's a great danger for that. Recognize that when we talk about sinful speech, if you're typing on a keyboard, a phone, whatever, it has the same effect as opening your mouth and saying. It still comes from the heart, which is the origination of our speech. And there are so many kinds of sinful speech that you and I need to avoid, not only in social media, but in every aspect of life. Like I said, these lessons are applicable everywhere. We need to avoid corrupting speech. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Ephesians 4 and verse 29, Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. I've heard well-intentioned brethren before talk about that, and they say, that's talking about curse words. No, it's not. Now, those might be included in there, but he's talking about corrupting words. Corrupting words that tear down and that break down, as opposed in the same verse to the edifying words that build up. Sometimes things that people say just in general and on social media are things that harm and things that bring down and things that tear down others instead of things that would build up. And that kind of speech ought not to come out of our mouth, the apostle says. We need to be on guard for corrupting speech. Also, I see filthy language which the Bible does condemn, over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, there the Apostle Paul said, "But now you are to put off all these." Christians are not to have this as any part of their life. He said, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. But watch this last one in that verse. Filthy language out of your mouth. Now, as we think about social media, particularly this evening, let me say this. That if you repost something on Facebook, for instance, that somebody else may have originally posted and they use filthy language, when you repost it, guess who's using the filthy language that time? You are. Somebody says, "Well, I didn't write it." Well, you might not have written it, but you shared it. Same thing as saying it yourself, repeating a dirty joke that you heard somewhere. It's the exact same thing. And we need to recognize that filthy language ought not to come out of our mouth. The next thing I want to talk about in the sinful speech is a danger of social media is euphemisms, which sometimes you don't hear that much about. A euphemism is a softer way of saying a harsh thing, and people use a lot of euphemisms. It actually concerns me how much I hear my brethren using euphemisms. That if they had no concern about people hearing them and perhaps what people would think of them, they'd use the regular four-letter words, but instead they use softer four-letter words. It's just as wrong. Every time I hear those words, guess what I hear? I hear the harsh four-letter word that the word indicates. That kind of language ought not to come out of our mouth, and that kind of language ought not to be posted or tweeted or anything like that either on social media. They get those things about. And also when we think about sinful speech, sometimes false doctrine is circulated by brethren as well. I've seen brethren post things and they'll say, "Well, I don't agree with all of this, but I agree with a little bit of it." And then they put it out there as if that makes it okay. What are you doing? You're spreading false doctrine. And not only that, but you're also promoting and in a sense amening somebody who's a false teacher. Does the Bible say anything about that? I think it does, doesn't it? Look over with me at 2 John verses 10 and 11. 2 John verses 10 and 11. It says, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him." Do you know what it's talking about there? It's talking about, of course, not bringing him into your house, not greeting him. But what it's saying is don't lend your influence to somebody who's a false teacher. He said, "For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." And if I take the writings, the teachings of a false teacher, and I share them with somebody else, I have shared in his evil deeds. And I come under the condemnation of God's word. But yet the sinful speech of false doctrine is often circulated by brethren who may say, "Well, I agree with part of this. Maybe you need to check this yourself," or not all of it. And yet it gets out there and false doctrine is propagated. We need to be on guard for that. Be aware of that. You see, there's a danger of sinful speech with social media. Not only that, this may be one of the bigger ones. If we think about some dangers of social media, there's a danger of gossip. A lot of that goes on social media. People saying things about others that they ought not to be. Much gossip indeed is spread on social media. You know, God has never tolerated that. I've been impressed by that fact. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus in chapter 19 and verse 16. In Leviticus 19 and verse 16, the beginning of that verse, God uses his strongest condemnation. He says, "Thou shalt not." Here it is. "Thou shalt not go up and down among my people as a talebearer." You know what a talebearer is, don't you? A talebearer is a gossip. One who gets a tale and they pick it up and they carry it everywhere they can to tell it to somebody else. God said, don't do it. Then I come to the New Testament and the Apostle Paul talks about those younger widows who would wander from house to house and they'd speak gossip. And he said, those were things that they ought not to speak. You see, we ought not to be saying things that are gossip. Somebody says, "Well, it might be true." Well, that doesn't mean that it's not gossip just because it's true. Do you realize that? You ever heard some of those questions that you're supposed to ask before you say something to make sure you avoid gossip? You're supposed to ask yourself the question, is it true? If it's not, then you don't say it because it's surely going to be gossip. You need to say, is it something that I would want said about me? If it's not something you'd want said about you, don't say it. It's gossip. You need to ask yourself the question, is it something that's going to build up, something that's going to edify? And if not, don't say it. It's probably going to be gossip. And on we could go with things like that. But you see, we need to avoid gossip. But yet a lot of times that goes on these platforms. People say things about other people in situations that they ought not to say, and typing it is just as wrong as saying it, and causes the gossip even to spread faster than saying it face to face to someone. But you see, gossip is a danger of that. And closely related to that, another danger of social media is the danger of slander. The danger of slander. When we think about slander, slander is the act or offense of saying something false or malicious that damages someone's reputation. I've seen that happen before on these platforms. And by the way, you avoid these things all the time, not just on social media, but I've seen it happen before on social media. People say things intended to hurt somebody else's reputation. That's slander. And the Bible says it's such as a sin. Back in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18, we read, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips." Notice this. "And whoever spreads slander is a fool." Now let me tell you, you're playing the fool. You're showing yourself to be foolish if you say things that are going to damage the reputation of somebody else, if you slander them. Again, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, there Paul said, "To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." Notice that, speak evil of no one. Would to God that we'd learn that lesson. That we ought not to be speaking evil of others. That we ought not to be slandering others. That we ought not to say things that would harm other people's reputation. You see, there's a danger of slander with social media. Yet another danger of social media that you find is the danger of complaining. A lot of complaining goes on social media. You realize that the Bible condemns that? Do you realize that the Bible does not approve of God's people being a people who complain and who vent all their feelings all the time? In fact, I've even seen some posts by brethren that will say that they say, "I feel like I just need to vent for a minute," and then they go on with whatever they want to vent about and complain about. Did you know the Bible specifically addresses that? Turn over with me, if you would, to Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Proverbs 29 and verse 11, and whether or not you use social media, remember this idea the next time you say, "I just need to vent for a minute." In Proverbs 29 and verse 11, we read these words. I'm reading from the New King James Version. "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." Whenever I hear anybody say, "I just need to vent for a moment," you know what kind of words I'm about ready to hear? What kind of words you're about ready to hear? You're about ready to hear a fool's words. Because a fool's the one that vents all his feelings. And we need not do that. And by the way, you ought not to do that anyway and complain about things in this life. In fact, over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, Philippians 2 and verse 14, you remember what Paul said to the church of Philippi? He said, "Do many things without complaining or disputing." Is that what it says? No. He said, "Do most things." That's what it says, right? Without complaining or disputing. No, that's not what he said. He said, "Do how many? All things without complaining or disputing." You see, we as God's people ought to learn contentment. We as God's people ought to learn the joy that comes by the great promises of God, and we ought not to give a people that are given to complaining and to fussing and fighting and venting all of our feelings about everything. And surely we show ourselves to be foolish if we do that before others in any venue, and that includes social media. You see, there's a danger of becoming a complainer, one who vents all their feelings. Not only that, but also there's a danger of social media with approving of things that are evil. You know, Facebook has a little like button. I was on there, I guess, the last time. Now I guess they have love and all kinds of stuff. I don't even know what all they have now that you can do with things that are posted. And I get concerned when I see things that are evil and that are wrong and that are sinful, that are in error, that my brethren have liked or that they say that they love. And let me tell you, that little click of the button, that little press on your phone screen, when you do that, what you're saying is you're saying, "I approve of what this says." And what you're also saying is, "I approve of everything that this says." And if that's evil, you've just become one who's approved of something that is evil. Maybe something's crude. Maybe something uses filthy language. Maybe something is an error, has false doctrine. Whatever it may be, if it's wrong, and you say you like it, then you have approved of that which is evil. And the Bible speaks much of that idea. Look over at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And while you're turning there, let me just say that in this context, another thing happened. Sometimes something will happen. I saw recently, a while back, that people had all kinds of rainbow backgrounds or overlays on their profile pictures in support of homosexuality and different things like that. And I saw some brethren that did that. That's approving of things which are evil. Notice what Paul said about that in writing to the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 28, there he penned these words to the church at Rome. He said, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. But being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful." He talks about all these sinful things, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now, a lot of people want to stop right there, but does the text stop there? Does it stop there? Notice what he says. He says, not only those who do the same, but watch this, but also those who approve of those who practice them. Did you realize that you're in the same standing before God when you approve of sinful things as you are if you did the sinful things yourself? Isn't that what that says? That those who do these things are deserving of death, and indeed they will find eternal death, save they repent and change. But if you approve them, you're in a sense as guilty as they are, and you're also deserving of the same death. You see, it's serious when we begin to approve things that are not right. And you're like, or loving something, or reposting something, whatever it may be, understand that that is showing your approval of something that may indeed be evil. In Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10, Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10, notice what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Discernment's important. Notice what he said in the next verse, "that you may approve the things that are what? That are excellent. And that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." You and I in our lives and social media as well, if we're involved in that, we need to approve only of things that are excellent, things that are good, things that are righteous, things that are holy, instead of things that are evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "Test all things and hold fast to that which is good." May we ever remember that from day to day and when it involves these things as well. We test something and we only hold to, we'd only go after those things and approve of those things which are good and never those things which are evil. But as we move on and think about some dangers of social media, there's also the danger of evil associations. Evil associations. That applies, of course, all the time, but I believe it also applies to social media. You know, it's interesting, and I'll just make a little side point. People many times have forgotten what real friends are. Do you realize that? In our digital age today, they think that because somebody clicks a button, that makes them your friend. Don't count on it, okay? That's not necessarily real friendship. But what I want you to understand is that the people that you bring in as your friends, the people that you follow, those are people, I want you to know, that you are allowing to influence you. Because when you log on to those sites, when your phone dings with something that pops up, it is something from those people that you have allowed to come into your life and be an influence on you. And they can be an influence for evil and not good. And the Bible warns us of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." And that is true with social media just as well as it is with having somebody over to your house. Maybe even more so in some ways because social media has become so influential and invasive in the life of so many people that they're just covered up with it all the time. You see, the things that people say that may be immoral, that may be wrong, that may be evil, when you read those things, it desensitizes you, it encourages you in those things, and it will corrupt your good habits. You see, you are influenced by what others say. You may get wrong thoughts by the things that you read or the things that you see because of the associations that you have. I was talking about this one place, actually in a preacher training program, and somebody said, well, one of the guys, he was well-intentioned, but he said, well, you know what, I can hide people from my timeline or whatever it is. So I can't see what they post. Well, why would you even have them as somebody that was even having the opportunity to be there in the first place if you don't want to see what they wrote? And let me also say on that it affects your influence, as we were talking about earlier, your example, the people that you have as your associates on there. Because when people look and they see who you follow, they see who your friends are, they think that those people are associated with you. And if I've taken in immoral people and people that are evil and people see those among my group or collection of friends, understand that that says something about me and it might affect my influence for good as well. Who your friends are speak to your example, and who your friends are influence your example. And may we recognize the danger of evil associations on social media. But another danger of social media is the danger of envy. Envy. I know a lot of people that become envious of others because of social media. You know, the interesting thing about social media, and I know some people don't do this, but the interesting thing about social media is that generally people only post the good things. Do you realize that? They only post when they get a promotion, or they've gone on some big vacation, or they buy a new house, or something good happens to them. That's sometimes the only things that people post are the things that are positive. And I know people that look at that and they become envious because they think, look at how great of a life these people are living. Look at all the good things that are happening to them and for them. Look at all the things they're enjoying. I'm not enjoying those things, and it makes them envious of others. We need to understand that envy is a sin, but we also need to understand that, and I know people like this, and I guarantee you there are probably more than you think who are miserable because of social media. Who are miserable because they look at these people that are only talking about good things and it makes them feel bad about their current situation. Do you know that envy will do that to you? And social media just is an accelerated platform to envy. But notice with me Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, this is the idea of being miserable from within. He says, a sound heart is life to the body. Notice this. But envy, here it is rottenness to the bones. And people are miserable, rotting from the inside out because of the envy that they have towards others. And a lot of that envy today is fueled by social media, the things that they see that others are saying about their life and what they're doing. And by the way, as I said earlier, envy is a work of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21 catalogs it as such. In fact, I'm working on a series of lessons of lesser known sins of the Bible, some things you don't hear about that much. Some of them are listed in Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 21, he says in the beginning of that verse, envy. You see that? Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, notice that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you are suffering from the sin of envy, it is a sin, and it will keep you out of heaven eternally. It's that serious a business. Yet a lot of people are moved to envy, and they put more temptation in front of them to be that way because of social media. It's a danger, one you need to be aware of. And then one last danger of social media that I want to share with you this evening. And there are more that we could go into, but this will suffice for this evening. And that is a danger of pride and boasting. Pride and boasting. Putting things out there that show a heart that's full of pride, and also boasting about yourself and the things that you've done and the things that you have. You know, a lot of boasting and bragging goes on in social media. The Bible addresses the idea of pride, doesn't it? 1 John chapter 2. Beginning in verse 15 down through verse 17, what did John say? John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Understand, there is a danger of the pride of life in the things that moves us to do. Over in Romans chapter 1 in verse 30. Romans 1 and verse 30, we noted this a moment ago, we noted it again though in this context, as he lists all those different sins which will bring about punishment of God. He says backbiters, haters of God, violent, what's that next one? Proud, the next one after that, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You see, pride and boastfulness, those two things are things that will separate one from God and cause them to lose their soul eternally. You and I need to be humble, don't we? 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 5, Peter says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, you all be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Here's the reason why. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You and I need to be people that wear the clothing of humility from moment to moment, day to day. We need to think about that when it comes to social media as well. The things that we may put out there, are they expressing that spirit of humility or not? Because you see, the danger of pride and boasting is clearly evident with this. Now, as I said at the very beginning, you may not be involved in social media at all. If not, these things still apply to you and me as Christians, those who wish to be pleasing before God. But if you are, please recognize these dangers that are so clearly evident, it's so clearly evident that they're associated with these things. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying don't use them. They're okay. They can be used for good and they can be used in right ways. But surely be aware of the dangers that you might avoid them. The dangers of unredeemed time where you're not making the best use of your time. The danger of a bad example. The danger of participating in sinful speech. The danger of gossiping about others or slandering others. The danger of complaining. The danger of approving things which are evil. Of evil associations, of envy, and of pride and boasting. And let us all be careful to avoid these things in every area of our life, that we might be those who are pleasing before God and to have a home in heaven by his grace and his mercy afforded to us. But you know, when you think about social media, one of the first ones, at least, that got real popular is Facebook. And I hear a lot of people talk about their Facebook friends, their friends on Facebook. Would to God that everyone here this evening and everyone outside of here as well would be concerned about having the greatest friend that man has ever known as they are about having friends on Facebook. There's a friend that you need to have. A friend whose invitation to friendship you need to accept. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said these words, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Here's the invitation to be his friend. He said, and you are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Have you accepted his friendship request? Are you a friend of Jesus? Have you obeyed his commandments? If you're outside of the body of Jesus Christ, the way to become the friend of Jesus is so very clearly evident in Scripture. You hear that he is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he shed his blood, that he resurrected from the grave, and that even now he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and you believe in him with all of your heart. You turn away from your sins and repentance to do those things that are wrong no longer, but instead to do the right things before God. You make the good confession of your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you're baptized into Christ Jesus that your sins might be washed away, according to Acts 8, 22 and verse 16, that you may be one who is a child of God, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27 tells us. And based upon that obedience, you come up out of that watery grave, indeed the friend of Jesus as you've begun to obey his commandments. And you remain his friend as you continue faithful unto him. And when you err, even as Christians do, you repent of those sins, you confess them to God in prayer, and know that he'll forgive if you but do that. hold it against you no more. If you haven't shown yourself a friend to the greatest friend that this world has ever known in obeying him, we urge you to do that this evening. If you're not a Christian, won't you become one? If you are one and you've wandered from the way, won't you come back? We stand ready to help you in that. If you do come forward, as together we stand and we sing.